This episode of Armchair Explorer is brought to you by the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada. Take your adventures to new heights and learn more at nissanusa.com. This episode of Armchair Explorer is brought to you by Booking.com. Booking.yeah, because yeah is exactly what you say when you found that absolutely right, perfect place to stay for you. And that is the cool thing about Booking.com that I found. It's how you can niche down into exactly what you're looking for. And that is super important. They've got a huge variety of stuff up there, as I'm sure all you guys know, from hotels to vacation rentals, everything in between. But you can get really, really specific. So here's an example. My wife and daughter are huge musical fans. I am not. Judge me how you will. I do not get them. So they're planning a trip to New York this spring to get their Broadway on, and I'm not going, which is great for them. So through booking.com, we were just scrolling around trying to find what that perfect hotel would be. And you get lots of ideas. And we found one that's within walking distance of the theaters. It's not too expensive, but it's got lots of character. You really feel like you're in New York. So no matter who you are, booking.com helps you find the stay that's ridiculously right for you. So find exactly what you're booking for on booking.com, booking.yeah. There's a chocolate pudding fruit. Did you know that in the Atherton Tablelands?
I'm sorry, what?
There is a chocolate pudding fruit. And by pudding, I mean dessert. I don't mean...
Yeah.
What do you call pudding?
Pudding.
Okay,
what do you call like, pudding?
Well, pudding's like any generic dessert.
Huh. Pudding.
Yeah.
You know, like the milky vanilla, boom.
But that's what you think.
Yeah, what do you think?
I think pudding is a more broader generic.
Oh, yeah, because you guys do like blood pudding and stuff like that, don't you?
Oh, no, that's a whole different...
Like pig's blood or...
So pudding is dessert broadly.
Oh, so it's anything. It's
anything.
Cake,
yeah.
Cookies.
Could be anything.
That's pudding.
Yeah. It couldn't be blood pudding. That wouldn't be dessert.
That's not pudding. No. So everything is pudding except blood pudding.
Exactly.
It's amazing. This is why I like doing this show, is I learn amazing things like that.
Well, I'm glad we've cleared that up about pudding. Let's get on with the show.
Yeah.
So welcome back to Armchair Explorer, guys. This is our Pathways episode. Hope you guys know these by now. If you don't, I'm here with our lead producer, Jason Patton.
Howdy.
How you doing, mate?
I am so ready.
I'm ready,
back
too.
Back in the chair. We got you back from a trip.
Yeah.
You're all sunburned and looking happier than usual.
My back is sunburned, actually.
Yeah,
you can't see that from here, but it is.
We're actually shirtless in this studio.
We always do this shirtless.
Clearly.
And for the content. Better content that way.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, welcome to Pathways. If you're not familiar, well, we're a bit late this week because I've been away in Costa Rica. Drop that. It was an amazing trip. So sorry, guys, for being a little bit late. But if you haven't been there, it is just the most amazing country. So they have this really cool saying. It's not even a saying. It's like a word that encompasses every single word. You hear it all the time. It's called Pura Vida, which like directly translated is pure life.
Yeah.
But they say it for like,
I've seen
hello,
it tattooed on people.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
Like in response to anything.
Like when you have a drink.
Just an acknowledgement. Yeah. Cheers.
Huh.
It's just about everything. But don't you love that?
Pura vida.
Pura vida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. What was your highlight?
So here's a story I'm going to share with you. So we're walking back this one night. So now we're down in the jungle and we're in this place called Drake Bay, which is like cool little backpackery town. Very off the beaten track. You can only get a boat there, really. You can drive there, but it's like 12 hours over river crossings and stuff. So that kind of like limits the amount of people that are there. And we're walking between these two beaches. So the way that the beaches work in this place is it's totally wild. And you have to like take these little jungle rainforest trails in between them, which is so cool. And then you get to this other beach and it's just like deserted and a couple of people chilling out or whatever. Anyway, we're walking back from there. And we'd kind of seen a couple of monkeys in the distance, but not really. And then we hear all this like rustling and everything like that. So we all stop, obviously, don't want to scare them off. And then right in front of us is an entire troop of white-faced capuchin monkeys.
Wow.
You know the ones
I'm
talking about? And because there's like massive trees and bamboos and all that sort of stuff around there. But I don't know, I guess there's 20 or so in this troop that are all in this tree. And we kind of like walk up really quietly and are looking at it. It's amazing. But then this like bully, this white-faced bully capuchin monkey starts picking on this little one.
Oh,
it was like, whoa. You're so like, helpless to watch. And anyway, I've never seen it before. He literally kicks this monkey out of the tree.
The bully?
Yeah.
Aww.
He kicks another monkey out of the tree. The monkey falls out of the tree and like screams because monkeys never fall out of trees.
Yeah.
He like screams. He hits the ground pretty hard, but he's fine. Runs back into the undergrowth and kind of like crawls back up the trunk because he knows he wants to be on the tree, but he's also terrified of going any further. So he's like hiding out on the trunk at this little branch, looking terrible. And I kid you not, another monkey ran down and gave him a hug.
Oh.
I have it on camera. This other monkey went round and like put his arms around him and gave him a hug.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Can you believe it?
That's so human.
I know.
That's wild.
But it's like, if they're doing that, like what can you infer about the emotional bonds they have with each other, the complexity of the social relationships. So you see something like that and you're like, why are we even like questioning certain things? You know, it's like there's just this depth of emotional connection that these animals have. So it was one of the cutest things I've ever seen. So yeah, so that was beautiful. But anyway, thanks for coming, guys. Thanks for listening again. If you're not familiar with Pathways, this is when Jason and I preview everything that's coming up in the month ahead. And coming up is the first episode in an Australia series that we're putting out for a couple of different places in Australia. And the first one we have is from tropical North Queensland. So Queensland, if you're not familiar, is in that top kind of northeast corner of Australia. And there's so much like crazy beautiful stuff there. It's got the Great Barrier Reef. It's got a rainforest. It's kind of got a little bit of everything. And this first episode is one of our Discover guides, which we haven't done before.
No, we were us worker bees. We're hard in the working in the mines while this guy was gallivanting around Costa Rica, and we've been busting out all kinds of Australia content.
Yeah. So
this is our first one up TNQ. I'm excited for this one. This clip is really deep, and it's this really beautiful little sound design piece that was put together by our editor Charles, where this indigenous guide Juan Walker.
Juan Walker.
His name?
Yeah, Walkabout Tours.
He tells this just beautiful description of the Daintree Forest. So let's just go to that clip now.
Fantastic.
Nega buri wan. Nyayo gogi yalanji bama. Yoro yonbril gogi yalanji bubu. G'day everyone, my name is Juan Walker. My gogi yalanji name is Garanba. I'm an Aboriginal man, gogi yalanji man from far north Queensland. My country, gogi yalanji country, is the rainforest areas of far north Queensland. So I base my tours and operations out of Port Douglas and Mossman primarily, and we work in the Daintree Rainforest, which is the oldest surviving lowland tropical rainforest in the world. Yes, sure. So the Mossman Gorge, that is part of my grandmother's traditional homelands. It's a beautiful area. She was born just outside of the Mossman Gorge along the river there, which we call, where camp was, is called Jingalmu. But the gorge itself, it's not what you'd think of as a gorge when you see it, because most people, when they think of a gorge, they think of a big deep hole in the ground. But the gorge is a beautiful freshwater river running between two big mountain ranges, and you have these beautiful giant rounded granite boulders that are scattered all through the river system. And so as the beautiful water runs over those boulders, it creates these amazing white water rapids, but it also filters and cleans the river system. So even after we get our big floods, after 2 days of dry, clear weather, the river becomes crystal clear again.
Isn't that so beautiful, listening to the way that he
described?
I know, it's so soothed.
It's like audio therapy.
It's like, I'm sorry that we have to come back in now.
Yeah, it's us again.
It's like, boom, sorry. Wow. So that is Juan Walker we just heard from there, and I've always been fascinated by the Aboriginal people and culture of Australia. There's so many amazing things, and you know, I'll let Juan talk about that in the episode, of course. But one of the things that always really astounds me is the Aboriginal people of Australia are the oldest continually surviving civilization on the planet.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Huh.
So 60,000 plus years, there's a continuous line for more than 60,000 years. And even like Juan's ancestors, he can trace that line going back. But yeah, just to put that in perspective, the 60,000 years, let me tell you some things, some creatures that were alive 60,000 years ago. woolly mammoths. That seems pretty obvious. Saber-toothed tigers.
Oh, sweet.
Giant ground sloths.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
So I saw a sloth in Costa Rica. Did I
tell
you
giant kind?
No.
Oh, just the regular kind.
Just the chilled kind.
Yeah.
But a giant sloth.
Like the real ones, like the clawed ones that move super slow, that have a slimy back.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that scary because presumably they're still chasing in slow motion. But, but this is the one I want to share with you. Dire wolves.
Oh, yeah. We just brought those back to life, too.
Really?
Did you see that in the headlines?
No.
It was this cool, I mean, talk about viral clips. It's like, hear the sound of this dire wolf, you know, call that hasn't been heard in thousands and thousands of years. But we combined, and I'm no scientist, so I don't know, like, the, you know, how different, it must be different, because I'm assuming they're, like, filling in gaps. I watched Jurassic Park. You know, they're filling in, like, gaps in the DNA.
Yeah, use that science.
Like,
go ahead.
Stuff and mixing it in with, like, you know, stuff, the matter they've extracted from fossils or something like that. But, yeah, they literally, like, there's two direwolf puppies alive right now.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Are direwolves the wolves that are from Game of Thrones?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think they're, one's a magical creature and one is, I don't know, I haven't met them yet, but maybe they're
magical.
And
one's from Game of Thrones.
They are adorable. And they are pure Snow White, too.
Wow. Yeah, no, so absolutely amazing to hear those kind of perspectives of people that go so deeply back to the land. And, you know, that's just a lovely introduction to that episode, but there's tons more. So where are you taking us next?
We are heading to South Australia. It is the, it's big. It's just as big as the other states in Australia, but it's extremely low population. Mm. So the biggest city is Adelaide, the capital city of South Australia. You know, normal big city, whatever you picture. Mm. Really cool place, but normal amount of people. The next biggest city in South Australia has like 20,000 people.
So which,
like,
is tiny.
Just tiny.
Yeah.
You know, it's very spread apart. So low impact. It's a lot of places with not a lot of people around. They love to throw around the phrase footprint-free beaches. So this clip that I'm excited to share with you is towards the end of the episode. We take a hop over to Kangaroo.
Nice.
Over to Kangaroo Island, which is just like across the bay from Adelaide. And it's said about it that if Charles Darwin had like hit there first, he never would have kept going to the Galapagos because it's full of like native species that aren't found elsewhere. Yeah. And we have this incredible guy, Craig Wickham. And I don't want to say any more because we had to put this clip in because it just kind of sets up him as a person.
Yeah, we weren't even going to include this. And then we're like, let's do it.
Just couldn't.
Here it is. Before we get going, I understand that you have a kangaroo asleep outside your window.
I do. We've got a little orphan called Lucy, and she's expecting a baby. So, which we saw that whole thing unfold on Saturday morning. My daughter went out and said, oh, look, quick, something's happening. So she's grooming, making a path into the pouch.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's a bit of a treat because it's such a rare thing to see in nature. Yeah, you often see the animals doing what they do, but I've never actually, in 35 years of guiding, I've never actually been on the spot when a kangaroo is giving birth, because birth for a kangaroo is a totally different thing to a placental mammal because it's a little tiny thing. So she's been with us now since July, and she's gone from 3 kilos, so that's about 7 pounds, and she's now about 30 kilos. So,
wow.
Yeah, she's grown very, very well.
Really is eating your lawn up.
Yeah.
Is this, now that she's been raised by you, something that she will stay with you for life, now that she's kind of been habituated to humans, or do you release her later?
She's never actually been captive. I mean, when she was really small, she'd be in a pouch, but at night time, she'd start bouncing around the house and driving us crazy. So you'd open the door and say, out. There is no predator for little kangaroos on the island at nighttime. So she could basically enter roo habitat the moment she steps out the door. So we expect she'll come and go as she pleases and come back and say g'day when she wants to, and then off she goes.
So that's Craig. I mean, come on. It's adorable.
Have you seen a picture of a baby kangaroo?
No.
They're right up there with baby koala bears competing for cutest baby animal in Australia. Yeah. They really are.
I mean, I didn't know you could just, I assume they're like just down in the pouch the whole time.
Well, sometimes they poke their head out of the pouch. So cute. But there's tons of other stuff. We also go up the limestone coast, which is right there down the south. Lots of cool things there. Caves and sinkholes.
Which it doesn't sound like amazing when you say sinkhole.
To the sinkhole.
But picture a hidden garden the size of a, like, in a, it looks like a crater with curtains of ivy dangling from the rim.
Sounds amazing. When like a told
pond
that story.
At the bottom, yeah. Animals that eat out of your hand. It's like a Disney thing.
It is.
It's crazy.
It's like a Disney sinkhole.
We need a new word for that.
No, it's not exactly poetic. Yeah. But there's that. There's like crystal blue lakes. There's incredible caves. And then kind of from there to Kangaroo Island. But we also, of course, visit Adelaide and go on this walking tour. We do our kind of ultimate 48 hours, which could be like a little segment. I hope we keep going. And when we do it, it sounds a little bit like this.
The ultimate 48 hours in Adelaide.
Thanks, Charles.
Yeah, thanks.
And I just want to say, so taking us there is the lovely Katina from Flamboyance Tours. But the reason why it's called, and it's like a walking tour, and she kind of just going to take us on this kind of like virtual walking tour through the city, and she's really fun. But here's what I want to say.
Please.
Her tour is called Flamboyance Tours because she has a little flamenco. You know, it's like tour leaders sometimes have a flag so people can see or whatever. Yeah. Hers is like a plastic flamingo.
Okay.
And do you know what you call the group of flamingos?
No.
A flamboyance of flamingos.
I thought you were actually quizzing me. Like, I do not know that.
You call them
flamboyance.
A flamboyance of flamingos.
That's kind of beautiful.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Is that your favorite of those like words for a group of animals?
Oh, it's interesting. You should say that,
are
Jason.
You ready to go over? We did not prepare this. He got real excited when I asked that.
So I looked this up. This took about 5 seconds, okay. And I loved all of them. So what do you think you call a hippopotamuses? It's a bloat.
Oh, wow.
A bloat.
Accurate.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
A smack of jellyfish.
Oh, yeah.
I love this one. A shrewdness of apes.
Oh, that's great.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
And a parliament of owls.
Oh, very, very British.
Because they're wise and all of that. I love that. And then a mob of kangaroos.
But what about my favorite? The murder of crows.
The murder of crows, exactly.
Humans are very inventive.
I don't know who invented all these, but it's very creative.
I love it.
That is a phrase I'm going to be attempting to drop into every Pathways from
every
now
dinner,
onwards.
From now on.
From every dinner.
Oh.
So, yeah, that's brilliant. First part of South Australia. And I really hope you enjoy this series, guys. Australia is, I think, a country that everyone's got to visit once in their life. A lot of people have it on their kind of backpacking bucket list. It's a long way away from, you know, America, Europe, but it's so worth it. It's completely different. It's so beautiful. It's so varied. So I really hope you enjoy this series where we're going to highlight different parts of it.
Yeah, and I'm really hoping, too, that what people take away from hearing this stuff is that you can also go other places than, like, Melbourne and Perth and Sydney.
Exactly.
You know, there's so much more. Yeah. Literally, it's a continent.
Yeah, exactly.
Go around
there's a lot, yeah. And we're going to try and pick out some of the best bits that maybe you haven't heard of all of those. So that is fun. But in the spirit of Aussiness,
Crikey.
Before we go to our lot, exactly, Jason, okay. Before we go to our next section, I want to introduce a new segment into Pathways. And it is a game show.
You got a lot of segments today. I like it. Go ahead.
I know. I prepared for this. Yeah. It's a game show. And it's a game show, and it's going to test your knowledge of Aussie slang.
I'm so ready for this.
So, Charles,
these two episodes. Give us some game show music.
Charles,
buddy.
Cue the game show music. Okay, question one of our game show. What does the Australian slang term dobber mean? Is it dobber? Is it a lazy person, a tattletale, a type of sandwich, or a skilled surfer?
A dobber. I think it would probably depend on the tone, but I'm going with a sandwich. Oh, no.
A dobber is a person who informs against someone else.
Oh.
And we might use it such as, don't be a dobber. Just keep your mouth shut.
You've been dying to bust that accent out. That was good, though. That was good. All right, what's next?
All right,
number two.
Okay, number two. In Australian slang, what does it mean to nick off?
Oh.
I'm going to give you some options.
Yeah.
To steal something.
Okay.
To leave. To take a quick nap. Or to win a competition.
Nicker off. It's not stealing. Was that an option?
Yes, to steal something is an option. Correct.
Yeah.
To nick off is a colloquial phrase to tell someone to go away. Oh, no, you're wrong, actually. It's funny because in England, you nick something.
Totally.
So, but not in Australia. To nick off is a colloquial phrase used to tell someone to go away, e.g., I'm busy, nick off. So far, you've got 0 out of 2.
0 out of 2. I thought I was ready. All right. One more.
So in Australian slang, Jason, if you heard someone say, I think I might wag this toot, what would they mean?
Oh my gosh.
would they mean
no guess.
Cheat in this class,
okay.
Put effort into this class, skip class, or try their best in class.
I think they're skipping class.
So WAG, in this context, is an Australian term for skipping class.
Yeah! That got me a point!
So well
done.
That
took me a minute.
And toot is a shortened informal way of saying tutorial. So WAG a toot is skip class,
that's
or bunk
good.
Off, as we might say in England. Very good,
bad.
But you can rescue yourself with these two bonus points.
Oh.
One is, can you tell me what fairy floss is?
That's a type of candy.
Correct.
Yes.
Can you zoom in on that?
No.
You get it in fairs. It's pink. It's absolutely disgusting.
Oh, like cotton candy?
Correct.
Yes.
And if I was to describe a man wearing Speedos, I might call those swimming costumes...
togs?
Budgie smugglers.
Oh,
so that is the end.
Thank
Cue
you.
The game show music,
well,
Charles.
Well, let me spin one back at you. Shall we hit the frog and toad?
And we'll see you next year. Fantastic. All right, but we have one more serious clip to do.
Yes.
And this is from an absolute legend in travel and adventure. His name is John Waterman.
Most appropriate name for his subject matter.
Well, he does a lot of stuff in the water and adventure. That's true. He also does a lot of mountaineering, a lot of climbing. He's an amazing photographer. He's a writer. He has lots of successful books. And he's just a legend in mountaineering for his own sake. And one of the very first climbs that he became known for was a winter ascent of Denali. He did the second winter ascent of Denali, but... because the first one was done up an easy route.
So he was what a wimp.
So he's like, I'm going to do a hard route now. And he's going to tell us that story. There's a lot else to that episode, but here's him talking a little bit of what it's like to be on Denali in winter.
It was one of the most desperate times of my life. I felt for many days on the climb in particular that I was going to die. I was certain that I was going to die. And for the first time in my life, I started praying. And I think that luck was on our side, because if the weather had changed, it surely would have killed us. But the weather held. When I say the weather held, that's kind of an understatement, because it was easily 50 below zero and the wind was blowing. It was so cold that, going to the bathroom was taking your future into your hands. I remember at one point spitting and hearing the spit freeze, but just crackle, frozen before it hit the snow. You couldn't hold on to your ice axe, even with the three layers of gloves that we had on our hands, because the metal was so cold. Mm. So we were letting our ice axe dangle from the wrist straps, so not to touch the metal. But it was like another world being on top of that mountain.
This episode of Armchair Explorer is brought to you by Nissan. I'm really thrilled to continue partnering with Nissan because, as all you guys know, this show is all about celebrating the pure joy of exploration and the joy of propelling your adventures to new heights. I hope we inspire you to do that. And Nissan is here to help you find that next adventure with the all-new Nissan Armada Pro 4X. It's got a powerful new engine, it's got incredible towing capacity, and adventure-ready technology. The Armada Pro 4X is the first Nissan Armada to earn that Pro 4X badge, so that's really cool. It's also super plush inside. It's got a premium interior for up to 8 passengers and tow 8,500 pounds worth of adventure toys as well. So thanks again to Nissan for sponsoring this episode of Armchair Explorer. Explore further with the Nissan Armada Pro 4X, and you can learn more at nissanusa.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
PayPal lets you pay all your pals, like your graduation gifters.
Who's paying for the mattress topper?
You mean the beanbag chair?
Aren't we getting a mini fridge?
Can we create a pool on PayPal? It lets us collect the money before we buy.
Oh, yes, that's smart.
Glad we can agree on something.
Easily pool, split, and send money with PayPal. Get started in the PayPal app. A PayPal account is required to send and receive money. A balance account is required to create a pool.
So yeah, that is nuts, right? Like that kind of cold.
Yeah, like going to the bathroom, taking your life in your head. Well, like,
what do you think you actually do? Like, assuming you're wearing really, really big gloves and you're a guy.
If it was me,
what do you do?
I'm just peeing in my pants.
Me too. But then it freezes.
Oh no! Oh, what do we do?
I didn't ask him. didn't feel appropriate. It would. Do you think it would freeze?
I mean, oh yeah,
it would freeze instantly.
Frostbite. Yeah. He's at -50. Yeah. Wow, that's crazy.
So John Waterman, total legend, and this is a great story too because it's really about that trip to Denali. That climb kind of sparked a lifelong love for the Arctic. And after that, he went to Gates of the Arctic National Park, which is somewhere I've always wanted to be. I think it's the most remote national park in America. He did a 2-week trip there. And in the episode, he describes what that looks like and feels like. You know, as a photographer, he's really interested in light. And he talks about like this Arctic light, how there's nowhere else like it in the world. It's really, really beautiful. But then like 30 years later, he took his son back on that same trip. Yeah, hoping for that same experience. Yeah. And it had completely changed.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, some climate change, and it had been devastated. So he didn't intend for that to be his next book, but it became his next book, and that was called Into the Thaw.
I see.
And it's a bunch of memoirs from his life, but also this kind of love affair with the Arctic. So it's really beautiful. And yeah, it was a real honor to speak to John. So we're gonna share that episode too. So yeah, so that's about it. So we've got those episodes coming up this month. Really excited to start sharing some of those with you.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear this interview with John. Yeah. That is sounding wild.
Yeah, it's a great episode. I haven't completely put it together yet. So
and you had him in the studio here, right?
Had him in the studio here. He was doing a talk in Boulder. And so he kind of popped in here first. Really great guy to sit down and chat with. And it's always so nice when I put these episodes together because, you know, I have the interview with the guest and then, you know, I've got this kind of hour and a half worth of tape, and you're always thinking about like, how am I going to put this together? How am I going to script around it? And preparing for this episode today, I kind of went and reviewed some of the tape, and I was just like, oh, this is going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like beautiful, beautiful way of describing things. Great story. So looking forward to getting my teeth sunk into that. So I think that's about it for today, guys. Thank you so much for listening. And yeah, if you can, please leave a review.
Please, yeah. Like, you know, with everything being on the same feed, we don't really know if people are like, you know, super drawn to one direction or the other. So if you like Pathways in particular, say something about it.
Let us know.
Only nice things, though.
And if you have any criticisms of the co-host, that's
just
fine,
don't.
Too.
Yeah.
And we'll pass those on.
So normally we sing our credits, but yeah. This time I think we'll shake it up. And we're going to do spoken word jazz.
Poetry? Oh, God, no.
I know you hate jazz. This is perfect.
But what about, because there's some famous Australian singers we could do as well, like Rolf Harris.
Who?
Tie me kangaroo down.
You're
sport.
Making this up.
No, that's a real thing. Is you don't
it,
know
was,
it?
Was
it?
What?
Rolf Harris, he's super famous in the UK. He had a washboard.
I think you're making all of this up,
no,
honestly.
Tie me kangaroo down sport. No, that's a real thing. All right, I'm going to have to do him this week.
Yeah.
Then. All right.
Yeah.
Armchair Productions is produced by a bunch of kangaroos called Aaron and Jason and Charles. And we are Armchair Productions.
Good day. Crikey.
Oh, that was bad.
Yeah.
Nice. We'll go with it, though.
That finale of The Bachelor was ridiculous.
Lest we forget, this past season of Love is Blind.
I know.
At least there's always Sex in the City to keep us warm and fuzzy at night.
Always. Watching it back 25 years later has been the best.
Mm-hmm. Why are we so obsessed with watching people fall in love on TV?
Every week on our podcast, Two Black Girls, One Rose, we break down your favorite TV shows centering modern dating, love, and relationships.
Come ready to unpack the mess and have a laugh with us. I'm Justine.
And I'm Natasha.
See you every week on all podcast platforms.
If you're feeling overwhelmed by the news cycle, you are not alone. I'm Emma Varvalukas, and along with Progress Network founder Zachary Carabel, I host What Could Go Right, a podcast that looks beyond the headlines to uncover progress happening in the world, even in difficult times. Each week, we sit down with experts to discuss today's biggest challenges without ignoring the hard stuff. We bring nuance, insight, and a forward-looking perspective to help make sense of the current moment. Fight the urge to doom scroll. Tune in to What Could Go Right instead, wherever you get your podcasts.